Welcome to the Kevin and Fred Show. My name is Kevin Kaufman, and today my host is my friend, Lori Finkelstein-Reeder. You may remember Lori from an episode probably just a couple months ago where it was actually her interviewing me. Well, this time I got to turn the tables on her, and we had to talk about all kinds of fun things in business. And one of the main things here we talked about is kind of the power of knowing nothing and giving yourself permission to fail. Lori has been someone who has just been so graceful in growing and sharing with others, and we talk about the fears that hold people back. We talk about how to gracefully navigate changes in the market and how to help newer agents get going from selling just a couple homes in their first couple of month or two. So I think you're going to enjoy this episode. If you don't know Lori, she's an absolute rock star. She hosts a podcast. She's obviously the CEO of a real estate company. She's a Florida native, and just all around big, big, big producer. And you're going to enjoy getting to know my friend Lori. So without further ado, please enjoy today's episode.
All right, guys, we're back on the Kevin and Fred Show. And this week I am joined by my friend Lori Reeder. Lori, how are you today?
I am amazing and excited to be here, Kevin.
Me too. You and I got to do this recently, but it was the other way around. You got to put me on the hot seat. So I'm excited to be able to flip the tables on you this time.
And I learned a lot. It was great, having that opportunity with you. And honestly, I was taking a lot of good notes and I'm going to use them.
I love that. You know, that's one of my favorite things about doing a podcast is I have some super amazing guests on and I get to pick their brains. And of course, in a social setting, sometimes that can be a little bit weird, even though that's my I tend to want to pick people's brain and almost pepper them with questions, but it's totally socially acceptable if you're recording it, calling it a podcast. So I love doing that. And I have a hunch I'm going to do that today as well with you. Let's start there, if you don't mind. You and I, we really connected over because we were both trying to learn more, right? We're both going to events and showing up at mastermind events and things like that, trying to grow ourselves and grow our business. Has it always been a part of what you do? And what's the secret to that? I think a lot of people kind of stay hidden away and don't really take up that side because they see it as social, not work.
Right. I always call myself very socially awkward, if you will. But I actually have learned that about a lot of people I'm meeting, that are information gatherers and just wanting to know more so that we can bring that opportunity back to all the people who are, they're really counting on us to just keep the ceiling, just higher and higher and higher. I got really lucky from the sense of I was really raised by two real estate brokers. And super early on, my parents told me, you need to constantly be listening and speaking less, right? Always be learning, always be a student. Put yourself in rooms where you're going to know nothing and you feel intimidated. So I liken to say all the time that I've probably failed more than most because I had permission. And I love giving people permission to say, it's okay. Go to a mastermind, get into a room, feel weird, feel awkward, feel uncomfortable. Go up to the smartest person in that room and just start talking to them. Because what you typically find is they want to help. So, I've always been an information gatherer. I want to know more. In any mastermind I can get into, reading books, talking to great people like yourself. I love following your social media page. I love following so many people. I'm definitely that person that knows I don't know it all and that I want to know more. And I'm okay not knowing the answer, and I'm okay not being the smartest person in the room.
Yeah. I got really okay with that early on too. And I think it's served me well because I've been able to sort of challenge what I think, by listening to other perspectives and other people's business models and the way they go about things. And I think that's so helpful. You said something a minute ago that just really struck a chord with me about being told from the beginning to get around people that know more than you and get around people that are quote unquote might be smarter than you or just further along. And, I know, that's something I value that. I want to be in rooms with people that I sometimes don't even have any business being in the room with them. Like I somehow eked my way in there or charmed my way into the room.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, there's one thing I always want to try to have the conversation with my kids about. It's okay to be wrong. It's okay to not know everything. Because I think that's so, so powerful to enable people to get okay with being wrong and learning, because learning can be hard.
Yeah. I'll tell you, which could maybe be really valuable to someone who hears this, is that when we are bringing on new, either whether they're employees and their staff or they're new real estate agents, if they've been in the business a long time, we learned over the last 5 years, you've got to give permission to the people in your world to fail. You've got to say to that new employee or to that new agent, look, it's okay. You're going to fail. This is not going to be perfect. It's not a straight line. As a matter of fact, the faster you fumble, the quicker you get to the goal line. So I'm a really big proponent of that. You know, I grew up with 6 kids and I'm somewhere right in the middle. And they're all way smarter than I am. They're all far more educated than I am. And I'm the one that asks the most questions. And like I said in the beginning, I was lucky. My parents were not trying to raise us to be perfect. They were trying to raise us to be the best versions of ourselves. So yes, telling your children exactly that. And I have told mine, even though they are completely grown and I'm actually a grandma now. It's so amazing. I still tell them on a daily basis, you know, like, what are you doing that is not comfortable? You know, what feels really challenging to you where you just don't want to do it because it's painful, you know, and it really gets people thinking. We had that conversation this morning in our morning meeting. And again, I wish and I hope that more people, that someone gives them permission to fall and to fail. We don't always need the blue ribbon and the trophy. We need the experience and the journey to realize that that's really not what we're looking for.
Gosh, that's so true. Let me ask you this. Can you remember, was there a specific time or two in your business, whether recently or, you know, dating as far back as day one, where you realized like, hey, I've got to do that. I've got to find like, where am I not being wrong? Where do I think I know everything? Where do I realize that I need to take a look at and change things? What is there anything that stands out in your mind?
I'll give you for instance, that I think changed my entire trajectory as it relates to real estate. And that was in the first couple of years. I think when people are in sales, they are, especially in real estate sales, I'm referring to, they're not fully aware of who their actual, shall we call it, opponent is.
Yes.
And when I learned quickly early on that the other real estate agents in my industry were actually on my team and that the consumer was more your opponent, if you will. And I knew that it was my job, my one job is to be a resource, is to help those that will eventually also help me. So it was knowing that real estate agents and people in real estate like you, you're on my team. You want to make me better for the sake of our industry.
Yep.
So realizing, and I don't think real estate agents actually get out of real estate school knowing your most important customer is the other agent. That's how you put deals together, right? These are the people you lean on. You know, I don't care what kind of market we're working in because it does not matter to me. Buyers need houses and sellers need to sell houses. So the market is insignificant to Lori Reader or to our company. What matters is our relationships to other real estate entrepreneurs, obviously the consumer, but the consumer, they're going to hire you based on something completely different. So yes, it was a pivotal moment for me to know that my biggest customer was the other agent.
Was there a specific instance or thing that kind of maybe turned that light bulb on for you?
Yes. The instance was I was a young agent and I had a real estate client, I had a buyer who was ready to write an offer. And the listing agent said to me, let me help you. And on the trunk of her car, she wrote the contract with me and for me.
Wow.
Helped me through the entire transaction. And from that moment, I can't tell you how many agents I've done the same for and why our relationships today, 24 years later, if someone from our company is going to write an offer on your property, you're going to the top of the list.
Yeah.
And it was very pivotal for me. And I'm a very big pay it forward human. So if not for that person, I don't know if I would have had that experience.
That's, gosh, that, you know, that's such a great example. And I think that is so true of, it's something that we try to talk with our agents about on our team too, is just working with the other agents and building those relationships. Because number one, you never know when you're going to need it. Number two, I think it's the right thing to do, like you do. And number three, I do think it makes us all better, which makes our industry better. And, you know, I'm a firm believer in we're in this together, not against each other. So that's really cool. Tell me, what's your business look like today, Lori? Because I know it's grown so much over the last few years. Give me an idea of maybe agents and staff and what's your volume looking like this year or transactions. And I'd like to kind of break down a couple different parts of that, if you don't mind.
Of course. Would you like me just to give you a little bit of insight and then you can
yes.
shred?
Yeah, exactly. Let's do that.
Okay. I'm going to give you approximates and it's going to be very close, but you know, things ebb and flow in terms of agents, et cetera.
Absolutely.
So, today I would say we are about 45 agents that are what I call contributing. So when we consider an agent within our company, we very much see ourselves as a sales organization. So if you are not selling, then you're not part of the company.
Got
so it. When I give you agents, it means that they are actual real estate agents that are selling 2 houses per month, right? So that's 45 agents. And I would say always around 8 to 10 of them are in the training phase, which means they're in that first 30 days before they start committing to that 2 sales per month, helping 2 consumers per month. Our staff is right around 25 to 28 people. And I will tell you that probably around 10 of that 28 are servicing our Zillow offer partnership. And the rest is servicing the traditional side of our business. So right around 20 agents. We are on pace right now to close somewhere around 1350 to 1500 sales this year.
Wow.
We are having our biggest year ever. When we made the shift to treat our company like a sales organization, everything changed. And I give all that to my leadership staff.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean we decided to shift it to treat it like a sales organization? Tell me more.
So in real estate, and I think it's unfair to real estate agents. And I think as things evolve and the climate and the environment for real estate changes, I think more people will behave in this manner is that as a sales organization, you have metrics that are non-negotiable, right? It's your job. It's what you do. It's your contribution to the company. In the past, maybe we had, you know, 45 agents, 48 agents. We always hover between 40 and 50 agents. That's just right about our model right now. And maybe 3/4 of them or half of them were contributing, meaning they were hitting their net metrics. They were selling 2 properties minimum per month. Now our company is made up of people who only do that. So we changed, we went away from, hey, you know, it's okay if you sell 15 houses a year or 12 homes a year, versus we're treating it like any other sales company that you can choose in America, you know, how corporate America would run their sales division.
Gotcha. And so then you said right after that, big thanks or to your staff for that. What was there a catalyst for making this change?
There was. So we got really lucky and Kevin, we've really like our avatar has changed for who is a part of our company, right? We're hiring people that are coming from sales organizations, not necessarily real estate. And over 90% of them sell 2 homes within 30 days of being within our company.
Wow.
So we hired a VP of sales. She was with us for a year first, built our entire inside sales division, and then was promoted to VP of sales. And she came from corporate America and ran a sales organization. So we've now infiltrated that into our business and we're just treating it differently. We're not just saying, you know, look, we're just a real estate company. We are a sales organization.
Gotcha. And I mean, those are really impressive numbers specifically for newer agents. Is it, yes. what would you attribute that to? Is it the expectation? Is it training? Is it the leadership there with that sales leader? Give me some sort of combination. What's your hunch? Is the, you know, attribution to them coming in, being able to come in with no experience and get up to two sales a month basically right away? I mean, that is so impressive.
It is really impressive. And I think it's collaborative, and it really starts first and foremost of, you know, being very clear what our goals are as a company, what our vision is and what we see in the future, and everyone being on task with that. I think a lot of what has helped and continues to help the growth is going through EOS as a leadership squad, right? Everybody moving in the same direction at the same time. I attribute the speed at which a person can be productive and start earning money and start helping the consumer with a couple of things. One, we're hiring the right avatar. Okay. We are now hiring the right person. Okay. And I honestly say for everybody who we hired in the past, you know, some of them are very successful. Some of them, maybe a team wasn't the right environment for them, our team in particular, right? Because everyone's got a different groove going.
Yes.
And I say it's the training and the onboarding. I believe the training and the onboarding, when it's powerful and there's consistency and you've got the right person, you kind of can't lose. You win.
Yeah. That's obviously that's powerful and super. I mean, gosh, Lori, that is really impressive. Right. Was there,
I'll tell you, Kevin, something else is that we really slowed down to go fast. So we very easily could have in 2021 brought on 100 agents, but being extremely respectful to other human beings and caring deeply about their outcome, we chose to really refine some of our things. We got really clear on things as a leadership, as a company, what our expectations and standards would be. And now we will start to really hire and staff up, and likely in 22, we'll double our sales force.
Gosh, that's really impressive. Since you mentioned 2022, let me ask you this. What are you, anything that really excites you about going into 2022? Because by the time this airs, this is probably, I'm guessing, going to be sometime in very late October, early November. You and I, for the listener, we're recording this the last week of September. So to me, fourth quarter starts this week, which means first quarter actually starts this week. So
yes,
I'm in the mindset right now. I have been for the last month or so around thinking about next year. What are you most excited about in 2022?
Well, personally, as a company, I'm excited because, like I said, in 2021, for us, it was really slow down, pull back to go fast in 22, right? It was to refine those systems, to get clear, to go through EOS. There were so many things we're doing. So we believe we'll see all that fruit and we will be able to offer opportunity to many in 2022. As far as the market goes, I'm super pumped for 22. I kind of said in the beginning, which I'm a really big believer, Kevin, I am not that person after 24 years going through multiple markets. I'm not too excited, concerned, or worried about what's going on out there.
Right.
Right. I know that people need homes. People need to sell homes. People want to buy investment property. I think you're going to see loads of people diving into that Airbnb business, which is going to be great for us as real estate agents. We can sell them those properties. And I believe we will see more inventory. I think prices are going to remain fat and healthy, but more to choose from.
Yeah.
You know, I'm excited about it. I don't think the interest rate will stay where it is. I think we're going to see a little bit of a climb. It's likely necessary. But I'm excited. You know me, I'm excited all the time. And you know, for your audience, I get excited when people get less attached to what's going on out there and what they can control, right? What can you control? Who cares what's going on? Like, I've never let anything from the outside have any bearing or decision on what my outcome was going to be. And that's focusing on the activities I can control. Being, you know, if you've got a database, you better be talking to them. Email, video text, text message. You give it a love on your database. And if you don't have a database, start it today.
Yeah. It's like planting a tree, right?
It's planting a tree. You know, people will say to me, you know, but you know, it's going to take so long. And if I start, you know, a database today, I won't have one until, you know, it's 24 months. And my question is always, you know, how long are you planning to be in this career?
Yes.
You know, and most people are like 10 years. I'm like, okay, so 24 months is nothing.
Well, in 24 months is going to go by anyways. So
get started.
You might as well get on the path to where you want. And, you know, it's such a losing mentality of it's, you know, I'm late or it's late or it's too late. Because to your point, if you're planning to be in the business 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now, two years is nothing. Like, you're going to be here anyways. Start on it. Even if you feel late to the game, that's okay. You still likely aren't actually late to the game. I remember just personally here. So I've been in real estate now just over 14, the summer marked 14 years. And about 2 years ago, I totally started my Sphere database over. I literally did what I called filing bankruptcy on my sphere of influence.
And oh, I love it.
What I mean by that is I literally opened a new Google sheet. I got my phone book out. I opened up my CRM and I opened up my Facebook page and I just started, I would like write down Lori Reeder. I wouldn't even fill in the information. John Smith, Jane Doe, so on and so forth down the list. And I just used the criteria that I had. And then I went back and filled in the information later. So that way I didn't get it to in my, and I just literally, because my thought process was, I'm going to be in this business for a long time. I've been in it for a long time and sold a lot of houses. I've done this too much to not just have a certain number of deals automatically come to me. And it's just silly if I'm not doing this. And so I did that. And here I was 12 years in. And I think, so whether if you're listening right now and you're thinking what Lori just mentioned, whether you've been in the real estate for a year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, doesn't matter. It's not too late. Just start because you're going to need it down the road. No doubt about it.
I think what real estate agents, no matter where you are in your career, you have to figure out that your real only competition is yourself, right? What are you going to do? What is going to happen today that's your day one? You know, I've been a marketer on bus benches and billboards. I've done it for years, postcards. People call me and they'll ask me, you know, how long does it take? And I, you know, I ask them again, it's the same question is, you know, you're here. How long are you going to do this? This is your career. Start today. I can't even tell you what that looks like 2 years in. Sometimes it takes a year. Sometimes it takes 6 months, but make today day one because you're worth it and you deserve it.
Yeah. So true. So true. So do you still, let me ask you that. Let's dive in on that. Are you still a big, print or direct response marketing? Is that still a big part of your strategy?
So I am a very big bus benches because in South Florida, billboards are a fortune. So I do a lot of bus benches and I do a decent amount of billboard. I'm a radio girl and I'm about to go back on TV. We went really hard with postcards in the first 3 to 6 months this year. I've been doing postcards my whole entire career. And we realized that if we were going to stick with our postcard campaign, we were going to have to like probably start mailing even more and change our message. So yes, we are all about print only with postcards. We will likely pull back on that as we go more into digital coming into 22.
I like that.
I'm not so sure, you know, I kind of did a test and just to see really what was going on. And honestly, some people, they don't want to see something in their mailbox. You're killing trees. You know, there's a lot around that. So we will likely pull fully away from all print marketing. And I don't mean street marketing, but print and go heavier on digital in 22.
Interesting. I love the fact that you're willing to shift and try things. And I'm
constantly,
again, goes back to what we started off talking about, right? It's okay to be wrong. It's okay to test things. If you're not okay being wrong, it can be scary, especially with the level of success in which you have had in your career to go, hey, there's this thing that's really served me well. Like I've done really good. And if I want to grow more, I'm going to have to, I might have to risk being wrong from time to time to be able to do something different or more.
Yeah. If we can monthly as a leadership team identify at least a half a dozen pivots we had to make because we were going the wrong way, then we are in trouble. So it's more about, you know, let's list them. Where did we have to pivot? What did we have to do differently? You know, again, you know, I don't know where a human gets trained on failing, but you know, you and I had a lot of similar training back in the day when we both worked for the same company. And yep. Honestly, one of the things I really took from there was I wasn't making enough mistakes. Yeah. Now I'm a hot mess. So look what's happened when you're a hot mess.
You know, it's so funny you say that, because a lot of people, and gosh, we don't sell anywhere near the number of homes you do in a year, but a lot of people ask me, you know, they just assume everything's perfect because you're selling. I mean, it could just be whatever. And compared to where they're at, right? If they're at 20 and you're at 100, or they're at 100 yeah. and you're at 500, or you're at 1,000 and they're at 5,000, it's really easy to think they got it all together. And the reality is what you just said is, it's actually the faster that bus is going, or that train, like the bigger the mess it really actually is.
You got to crash and burn a few times, Kevin.
Yeah. I noticed, I know you know Ben, but Ben Kinney's a good friend of mine. I'm, you know, he's often reminding me that complexity is, you know, making things complex is just a reason for stalling and not moving forward.
Yeah.
And
like try telling Ben that everything's going great. He'd look at you and go, well, that's not good.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. No, that is so true. And I've seen that as a constant theme with top producers. And I don't just mean that in the sense of like selling the most houses, but I mean, living the fullest lives, having the most full business, is that they're willing to have some things be messy around them in order to get what they're after.
Yeah. I, early on in my career, I recommend anybody who's interested in this. I read all of Warren Buffett's books. And I got super obsessed with billionaires, right? How do they think? What's different about them or somebody who's making 100,000 or 50,000 a year? Where are the differences? And over, no matter if it was a podcast, if it was an article, if it was a book, they all fell flat on their faces constantly messing up. Nothing was ever perfect. If they were comfortable, they knew they weren't growing. So that one piece, if people would allow that to happen and be okay with it, they will see growth even if they don't want it. It happens organically.
Yeah. Gosh, that's so good. Lori, before we wrap up, and I've got one other final question for you. For anybody who's listening that kind of wants to follow along with what you're doing or on social, or what's the best way for people to kind of connect with you or follow along?
I would say follow my Instagram, which is, you're going to laugh when I tell you this. I think it's either it's Lori Finkelstein Reader. It's just my name.
I'll drop it in there. We'll make sure it goes in the show notes.
On Facebook. I feel like I'm everywhere in everyone's face, hopefully giving value, because that's always my goal.
Always. That is always what you're doing. That's been my experience of you for sure.
It's just Lori Finkelstein Reader. And man, what a mouthful that name is. Holy guacamole.
We'll link to it for you guys in the show notes, so that way you don't have to remember that or type it out yourself. All right, Lori. So if you could paint, if you had a billboard, I'm going to kind of steal and butcher at the same time a question from Tim Ferriss. If you had a billboard that everybody was going to see, and you, when I say everyone, I'll let you qualify whether that's everyone in the real estate industry or just everybody, that everyone was going to see, what's the message, if you could just get out to literally everyone or the masses, on a billboard, what would that look like for you?
Probably what's on my billboard. It says stronger together.
Oh, I love that. Stronger.
And I actually together. Mean that. Yeah. Very intently. You know, we just redid our office building, and it's just plastered as big as it can be. Stronger together in bright lights. Yeah, I'm a believer, Kevin. And I think coming through the pandemic, a lot of us learned that we were way more connected than what we knew.
Yeah.
And that we really needed each other. We needed each other's energy. We needed to lean on one another. And I really, it was a harrowing experience, but there was a lot of gold that came out of it. You know, I think a lot of us let some of our guards down. I myself leaned on a lot of great people. And I believe we came through it stronger together. And that is and was on all of my marketing, on my bus benches, my billboards. It's plastered everywhere.
Gosh, I love that. What a great message. Lori, thank you for taking the time today.
No, thank you for having me. I'm honored to be on your podcast. Are you kidding? This is awesome. And you have the best microphone I've ever seen.
This is a good one. I like this. Adam Kontos, who you might know as well too, because you were at the same event I was when I first met Adam. When I was interviewing him the day we went to record, he had just gotten this exact microphone. I was like, "What is that?" And so he told me, and I got it within the month. And so it's been a great microphone for sure.
He's amazing, and he's a great friend. I actually also interviewed him. He didn't have this microphone though, so he's gonna need to get. If he doesn't have it now, he needs it.
Yeah, maybe he took it home or whatever. But it's funny. I laugh because Adam,
love it
when they gave it to me. He's a good dude. I like him a lot. Lori, thank you very much, guys. Go up, follow her, watch what she's doing. Show up to the events that Lori's at, because as you figured out, she's always got a ton to give. And is a wealth of knowledge and information, and just an awesome person to talk to. So, Lori, thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule today.
Cheers, Kevin. It's talk a pleasure. Have a great one, my friend. Take care.
Bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Kevin and Fred's community at EXP Realty. Learn why over 1,000 real estate agents joined EXP Realty last week. Join us for an informational webinar this Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific time. Register at intro to exprealty.com.